Your sound, your station, UCB Ireland.
So, UCB listeners, I have got a treat for you today. I am joined by Liam McGrath, and really, such a joy that we get to have this partnership with the Irish Sports Chaplaincy. But one of the really beautiful things about the partnership that we have with the Irish Sports Chaplaincy is that a lot of the sportsmen and women who the guys are ministering to, we're now being able to have conversations with those as well. And so Bradell Bosakani is also with us today. And I need you to know this. This is really hard for me to say, but this guy was part of the winning team from Drogheda United that beat Derry City in the FAI Cup final at the weekend. As a Derry man, that's hard to say. But we are delighted that men and women of God are being made famous on our island because of what God is doing in their lives. So, gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me today.
Absolute privilege, Liam. Let me come to you in a minute, okay? If that's all right. But I want to talk to Riddell, if that's okay. So tell me this: what was it like to be in the Aviva Stadium? 39,000 people, I believe, were in attendance for the big game on Sunday.
There was 39,000, 40,000 people there. It was such a surreal moment for myself and my family. First time being in there. First time touching the pitch, first time seeing the whole place. So it was just such an amazing moment for myself and my family. I was so delighted. But it's still hitting me right now. I think when I got back home, to my normal routine and just sat down, I think that's when I realized, like, whoa, I actually just got a medal. I just won I won the cup with a bunch of good lads as well. And it's just amazing. Such an amazing feeling, honestly.
I can imagine, you know, that moment when you're singing Championes, Championes, are we? That it was a really just, like, probably life-defining moment in many ways. Because I think in the pursuit of sporting prowess, we live for those moments, don't we? We dream about those moments, and where better to do it than in the national stadium in front of such a huge crowd. So congratulations to you guys, and I mean that as a Derry man. I really do mean that. I hold no ill feeling whatsoever. I just think it's great that we have healthy competition and that we have got these incredible opportunities on the island of Ireland. Liam, tell me this. What was it like for you as a sports chaplain? Were you like on your knees on the touchline interceding for the glory of God to touch your players' feet? And you know what was it like?
No, you know what? God's always a few steps ahead of us. So unbeknown to me, the whole team were booked into the City North Hotel on the Saturday night before the game. And they were leaving from there to go to the match, to the Aviva. And we just happened to have church in the City North Hotel every Sunday morning at 10:30. So we managed to have our entire church pray for the team. The whole team were in the hotel. And then a couple of the lads, Bradell, came in. And we just, together, we prayed for them. You know, we were careful. We weren't praying, God, please just make them win. We were very gracious in our prayers that it would be a significant moment. It'd be a moment for them to actually be really alive to the moment, to really take it in and not lose the moment. And because we know that, don't we? I mean, in life, when you've been through defeats of all kind and victories of all kind, and the older you get, you realize, man, to be alive in the moment is the greatest thing to have, to be taking it in. I think this man did that. And it was a lovely moment just before the match started, where Bradell got awarded the Academy Player of the Year for the whole league for under 20s. So you got a nice a ball in a case. And he also got an incredible goal of the month for the last month of the league. and they presented him with that award too at the end, a cracker he came to. So this man, like, the beautiful thing about sports chaplaincy and the way God is working is like, it's like a river that flows out, and through all of the clubs are connected. Like, we now have 16 of the clubs in the League of Ireland now. In the next season, we'll have chaplains, but all of the players move around and move around from different places. So, Bradell, when did you come into Drogheda? Was only what month did you come to Drogheda?
So I came start of January.
So, start of January. So, before Bradell actually arrived to Drogheda, his pastor called me, Daniel Caldwell, up in church in Sligo, and said, "Listen, I've got this great guy, great family, part of our church here in Sligo. When he's going to be coming up to Drogheda, will you just keep an eye out for him?" I said, "Yeah, great." And early days, I made steps to try and find him, and then I couldn't find him, and then I thought maybe I got it wrong, and then I was standing there at a match one day, and Bradell came over. Do you remember that moment? You take
Clearly.
it from there, yeah.
So we had there was a game that day I wasn't playing, and I seen one of our captain Gary Deegan was speaking to Liam, and I could just hear from the corner, like from just like me looking at it from outside, like it was just I could tell it was a conversation that was really intimate. And then my spirit was telling me, go speak to Liam. I felt like it was the Holy Spirit telling me, yeah, go speak to him. And then I don't know if the moment I looked at you, I was like, wait, this could be the same person that Pastor Daniel was telling me about to go talk to. Because my dad was telling me, yeah, there's a guy over there in Drogheda, you can go speak to him about everything you need to speak to him about. And straight away, like the minute I just tapped him on the shoulder, I was like, oh, are you Liam? And boom, conversations are flowing. And it's just amazing. Honestly, it's amazing because I'm having a person like Liam in your life, especially with the football, in the football stage where you can speak to him about anything, just whatever you're going through, especially myself. I moved up to Dublin by myself, so having someone there as well for me, it's very good and it really helped me a lot. So I appreciate Liam for, all the conversations and, everything that we had this whole year, this whole process has just been so amazing. So,
And
yeah.
it's a two-way thing, Tim. It's like, I think I said to you before, when I started out in the chaplaincy, I had this idea, oh, I'm gonna go and try and do something good for God, you know. It's the complete opposite. Like, I love it. I love to go up because I just feel really, you feel really privileged to be alive. And like the both of us, say the two of us meet, and the two of us, we know we're in this field together, and then it grows from there out, and it grows from there out. So it's lovely to be able to have really deep friendships. And that's what it is, isn't it? I mean, we usually at this stage now, like once a week, we hang out together after training, before Bradell gets his train back into the city. And but it's just to know that, we're able to talk to each other. We're there for each other. And I think early on, I think the first day I met you, I'd just gotten this crested Bible with a football on the front of it. And I remember I said, I went, "Oh, a Bible with a football on the front." And I got one of those little good news for everyone. I put in my pocket, says, "There's definitely someone for that tonight." And then when he came over to me, I went, "Okay, I think this is for you." Do you remember I gave you the Bible?
That same Bible. It's okay. So I have a physical Bible, and my Bible is already big. So I know when I'm packing my stuff for a match, there's stuff in my Bible, so it's already too big to like zip up. But then Liam gave me this perfect Bible, perfect size Bible that I could just slip it in, and if say I'm traveling on a away match, I can just slip it back out and read it. So if before I had my big physical Bible, I used to be like fighting, coming out, reading it, and then putting it back in. So this Bible is just perfect. It's like it's just supposed like it was meant for me, like honestly. And the front of the page and like the different titles really helps as well. Like, whatever you're going through, there could be like sadness or happiness or joy or whatever chapter you want to read, and it just helps you like, oh, I'm really happy with that Bible, you know. Honestly, I feel like as well myself, like maybe I might pass it on to someone else that may need it as well, you know. So no, it is good.
It's a thing we've a partnership now with yourselves and UCB. We also have with Good News for Everyone,
Very
and
good.
what they do is they offer, if any club wants club crested Bibles. I haven't actually even said it to Drogheda at this stage. I will do. I will say to them that they'll actually do for free. They're the beautiful. It's like New Testament Psalms and Proverbs. And it's the old Gideon ones, but you know, on the front they've all of the topics and the themes of, you know, sadness or
Yeah.
depression or anxiety or joy, whatever it is, and you can look up and find scriptures on that. And it's lovely. And it's, I was actually asking there the guys earlier. Apparently, to date, there's 99 different clubs across the island of Ireland who've had club crested Bibles done.
That is incredible.
21,000 Bibles have been handed out to clubs across the island of Ireland over the last number of years. So it's like, I think it's about 200 Bibles per club. So I'm not sure how many of them are physically in people's hands, but you know, there must be at least 10,000.
It is. That is so beautiful. Let me just pick up on something if that's okay, because Bridell, you said you've gone from Sligo to Dublin. No doubt that's a big, huge culture shock, but a little bit of digging tells me that your family kind of made a big trip as well. That, you know, Sligo wasn't home, always home. So kind of tell us a little bit about that story, about how God has brought your family, I should say, over to Ireland, and then how things have dramatically transformed.
So my background, I'm Congolese. My mom and dad are Congolese as well. So my parents obviously emigrated from Congo, and made themselves made their way to from Congo all the way to Ireland. My dad's story and how he ended up here, like to this day, it really inspires me, and I always tell him to go speak about it. So my dad left Congo when he was 18. He snuck out. So basically meaning like he told my granny that he's going on a little journey with his friends, but realistically it was going to be his last time seeing his granny. He was just trying to make it out, if you get me. Seeing his mom, sorry. So he went from Congo to Nigeria up towards like Morocco a bit. Obviously he kept his journey going and going and going, and thank God he reached Spain. From Spain then he brought my mom back up. My mom was 16, had my older brother at that age too. So it was just a mad journey, you know. I appreciate my dad so much, because when he tells me this story, it really touches me. And there's so many things that I'm missing, but I know one day my dad will share this story. He will share this story. I'm gonna get him to share this story because it's amazing. I always told him to write a book about it. But now we got to Ireland. And we got to Ireland because my mom's older brother, who I'm living with now in Dublin, was living in Dublin already. And he said, you know what, you guys should come to Ireland. You know, Ireland is quiet, Ireland's peaceful, you know, you can get a job and you'll be fine. There won't be issues and whatever. And we got here. So we were in Dublin. We were in an immigration center in Dublin. And then from Dublin, we got moved to Sligo. Now Sligo's home for me because that's where I met all my friends, all my brothers, my sisters that I call them. Started kicking football when I was in the immigration center. Clubhouse. That's where I seen a few lads who actually got deported. Two of them actually got deported. But when so we came to Ireland in 2009. So it was 2009 where I got to Clubhouse, and I seen these two lads and a few older lads and dads who were just kicking football around. I was young. I think I was like 6'5". And these two lads, their name was a Monday and Sunday. They were like the best footballers I've ever seen. And I was telling that I want to kick football as well, but they got deported, sadly. And it really, like, the reason why it sticks with me, because it's from them, like, seeing them kick ball and smiling. And I said to myself, I'm going to keep kicking football as well. I want to be a footballer. I want to be a footballer. And yeah, fast forward, Started playing with different teams in Sligo. Got myself playing with Balsa there. Because once we got our papers, our citizenship, we moved to a little small town, a little bit outside Sligo, 7 minutes away, called Colooney. And from Colooney, there's a football team beside it, Balsa there. Played for Balsa there. Played for another local club, Ballymoe. And then from Ballymoe, I got kind of scouted, if you want to say, for Sligo Rovers. Then with Conor O'Grady, who brought me in. He got me in for obviously from Kennedy Cup, so it was our DDSL team, if you want to call it, over there in Sligo. So Sligo Leitrim, he got me into Sligo Rovers, and from Sligo Rovers I've been playing with them since last season. So I was with them, sorry, since under 14s. And yeah, so after that, now it was my last season, I said to myself, I don't know. I said I want to leave the club. I want to, get myself into the first team. I wasn't really getting myself into the first team in Sligo, I'll be honest. Maybe it wasn't my calling. So now school was over. I finished my leaving cert. Debating if I should go into college. Having arguments, ag argument, argu sorry, having discussion with dad. Arguments,
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
arguments with dad. Dad wanted me to go into college. Dad wanted me to, obviously any mom and dad wants your son to go into college, but me and him, we kept debating. I'm like, oh, like if I go to college now, what am I gonna do? I don't know what I'm gonna do. The only one course I wanted to do was quantity surveying, but I was even debating if it was really for me. And then praying about it, I was so sad. This because it was getting close to where school is starting, and I need to make a decision on what I'm gonna do. And I was praying. I went into my room. I was actually praying about it, praying about it, praying about it. And then my mate told me, you know what? There's this course up in Dublin called the FAI ETB, where you got class in the morning, you got a little training, and at the end of the year, you get a certificate for, so you can get up to 400 CAO points, and you can get different qualifications like a PT or whatever. And I thought this was well suited for me because, I could do this for a year. I'm up in Dublin. I can try now join a Dublin team, try get me out there. I just felt for myself like if I, move to Dublin, it'll really give me the exposure that I need. So spoke to dad about it, and dad was like, okay, it's not a bad idea. At least you're doing something, because he didn't want me to just lay around in the house. So yeah, so he was just telling me, okay, where are you gonna stay? And I was like, oh, I'll stay with my auntie, my dad's sorry, my mom's older brother. I could stay with his family. So perfect. So I'm with them now from September all the way to September. I said to myself, I'm gonna try and get a team now. Try find a team. I think I text Shelburne. I didn't get a reply off them. I text Bowes as well. I didn't get a reply. And my good mate Manny, Emmanuel Longo, texted me. He was like, you know what, you should come to Drogheda under 20s. Play striker as well. I was like, you know what, I don't mind. And from there, came straight away to Drogheda, got in touch with Gavin, our manager, and he told me, yeah, come in for trials. Came in for trials. I did very well. So the trial was like Monday, and it was, I think it was a Wednesday, and then we had a game on Sunday against Pats, St. Pat's. And he put me on, and I scored two goals that day, and straight away he was like, yeah, we like you're gonna stay with us. And from there, it's just been, it's been going flying, flying, flying. I think I scored like 8 goals in the preseason in 5 games. It's just, I'm telling you right now, I think it was just prayer and having people praying for you as well. I really believed in it. I think that's what it was. I really believed that, okay, I can actually try get something. And then just kept going up, kept going up, kept going up, scoring goals, just kept going up. Like, I don't know. Like, it's not even I don't know. I actually do know it's from God. Like, I believe it was just praying and believing in God. And, the prayers that I did, my family praying for me, rooting for me as well, people praying for me, like, everything. It just kept going up. And then I got called in to the first team then for a game for the Leinster Cup. And this is my first time ever getting called up to the first team as well. I was excited, buzzing, called dad. Oh yeah, I got called up to the first team, He's like, look, if you get a chance, get a goal. Just get a goal. Yes, I remember, this was against Malahide. It was second half, I think. They put me on, and boom, I scored 2 goals. And I was just delighted with myself. Told dad, I was like, oh my days, like, look what's going on. And then fast forward again, I got called in again with the first team against St. Mauctus, I think.
That was in the cup, wasn't it? In the yes, this be the early rounds of the cup that ended in the Aviva. Yeah.
So no, it was the Leinster
Oh,
Senior
Leinster
Cup.
Senior Cup,
We
yeah.
got knocked out that day, so I got called in again with the first team. Came on, scored again. So I'm just like, so all this that is going on, God is just revealing to me. Like, there's so many times where, throughout this whole stage, where you might think this is so good, but throughout this whole stage, I was so down. Sometimes I felt like giving up. The times where I was looking for a team, I really felt down as well. But praying and keep going and keep asking people for help, or if there's a team that would let me in, like, I was really down. But when God just brought me to the stage where I was now going into the first team as well, that was the aim as well. And playing with the 20s, with the lads, with the academy as well, we were doing so well as well. We won the league actually this year with the 20s as well. We were winning games. Like, our academy team was just, we all just gelled together. It was just perfect. Everybody played a role. And just getting called up to the first team just helped as well. Then it was a while. Then I played with the first team, and then I got called in to the FAI Cup now against St. Mauctus. So the Mauctus, no, Mauctus was a Wil Wilton.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wilton. We played them in the FAI round for the cup, and I got put in. This was on my birthday as well. I turned
Happy
20.
birthday. But when you
Yeah.
hear this for a happy birthday, so.
So, yeah, it was my birthday now. I didn't tell anybody. I turned 20 that day, and we're playing Wilton in the cup.
Oh, that was like the semi-final or the
Quarter
quarter-final? Quarter-final.
quarterfinal in the cup round. They put me on. I was surprised as well, because I just thought they wouldn't put me on. I was on the bench as well. I just thought, okay, I would just be on the bench. But you never know what God has in store for you. So yeah, they put me on my birthday and scored 3 goals that night. And I was in
Yeah,
tears.
within 20 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
was in tears. I was in tears. It was my first ever hat trick, like, especially with the first team as well. It's just like everything was just so surreal. I was so emotional that night. I was, even Liam dropped me home as well. I called dad, and dad was just like, my dad was just normal. He thought, okay, like, I was on the bench with the first team, maybe I didn't play. I called dad. I was just like, oh, dad, scored 3 goals. And he was like, what? And he's just screaming his head. And then yeah, just unreal. Like, it was just such a good moment. And then we go now to, I think the Shelburne game was the next time I scored with the first team. So yeah, this was the second last game of the season against Shelburne. We lost 2-1, but I got put on that game as well. This is my first ever league debut as well. Put on, and I scored again, on my debut.
And that was the goal then that just won the goal of this goal of the month, yeah.
So that 1 goal is still the one that got goal in the month. And I'm telling you, it's just been amazing. And then just received my player of the year as well, and goal in the month, and win the 20s league. And you can just see from this whole journey that God planned this. I wouldn't if I when I was in Sligo, I wasn't thinking of this. I didn't know what was gonna happen next. But God really has a plan for you. Like, when you pray, when you believe in Jesus, and when you read scriptures as well, and how the scriptures tells you to trust in God, and don't lean on your own understanding, lean on His understanding. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing to see. I'm just sitting here and I'm just thinking about it actually, like, how it was such a bumpy ride, but all I had to do was stay patient and trust in God, and He will make His way. It's just such a good
I think
moment.
Tim was part of why I wanted you to meet Bradell is that, it's this thing that he's stepped out with this intention of going on a journey away, doing an Abraham away from everything he knows, all of the home comforts, and intentionally went out there and you've had to have a couple of corners knocked off you with disappointment and different things, and that's what God does, isn't it? Like when we're intentionally going out, it puts the little parts of the jigsaw to sharpen us and find a way of that satisfaction. But it's a very alive feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it was a, like I remember throughout this whole stage, this whole journey, I was always asking myself, the one question I was always asking myself and doubting was, am I really good enough? I was always looking at football in Dublin or like seeing my age group in Dublin, like the players that go, like the very good players who get called into the Irish squad or making their league debut. Like I was always asking myself, am I really good enough? Like compared to them, like they're 10 times better than me. Like I might as well just forget about this whole thing and go back to Sligo and just go into college or whatever. And I think having my dad as well at that stage, I think having your mom and dad at that stage being like, look, you already left Sligo. You're up in Dublin now. Like there's no point in you like backing down now and going back. Like stick with it. Just keep pushing and we'll keep praying for you. But don't keep doubting, you know, and then having them give me scriptures and, you know, having my physical Bible as well, you know. I think it was this year actually, and my dad gave me a KJV Bible that I used to read, but the English was obviously harder. But it was only this year that I went to a Christian bookstore in Dublin and I bought myself a Bible. And I think as well, buying yourself a Bible really helped you because you're like, okay, I bought myself a Bible and I'm gonna read it, you know. Instead of someone giving me something, I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna debate on reading it or not. But like, buying myself a Bible really helped me too. It helped me understand different things that sometimes that I can't control, that God controls everything in your life and your different situations and different different situations that you're going through. You know, like people are going through situations themselves that we don't know about. We just see the outside, but what they're really going through in the inside as well. So I was really down on myself at one stage as well. I just felt like just giving up. But then I think football, the joy that I have for football, I forget everything when I'm on the pitch or when I'm with a bunch of like the academy lads. I just forget about everything. I just love it, you know, the joy and oh, I just love it. And then once you now get called into the first team, you're like, okay, now it's starting to kick off, you know. Yeah, it's just been so good.
But now there'll still be a big decision now when you get to the end of the season and you think about college again and all of that. It's
Exactly.
we Tim, you know, like we've a son who's in that same situation, the same
Yeah.
year younger than Bradell. But again, I know as a parent, you're always thinking the thing between the education and the football and all of that. So where's
Yeah,
your head right now?
exactly. So we just won the cup, as you know. So from then, actually, sorry, from that Wilton game where I scored 3 goals, I was with the first team now full time. So I'm with the full team all the way to now. So we just won the FAI Cup. Now we have a playoff game. So if we win, we don't get relegated. And if we lose, we get relegated. But I know we're not gonna get relegated
In
in the name of
Jesus'
in
name.
Jesus' name. But after that, the season's done. So I can now go text my agent or text a few people or ask my manager, oh, what's gonna happen next? But I think I'm so calm right now. After this whole journey, I just learned how to just stay patient and just don't worry about what's gonna happen tomorrow. You know, tomorrow's gonna worry about itself. So I think, I'm just relaxed. Just leaving it in God's hand, and hopefully the good news comes where I can get a professional contract, my first contract, or, you know, you never know, I could get a contract abroad or whatever. So, I'm just leaving it in God's hand. There's no need for me to stress and worry about it because you're just gonna keep going in that circle. I already learned from it already, you know. So
Yeah, it's
yeah,
one
I
of the
think.
things. Yeah.
Go, I
One.
was just going to say, I think it's an absolutely remarkable story, Liam. But go ahead there. What were you going to say? This, by the way, this has been one of the easiest interviews I've ever done because I've not had to say anything. It's been great. So what were you going to say, Liam?
I was just saying it's one of the things for all of us in life. You have to write down on paper what is in your control and what's out of your control. And it's really a key to kind of keep anxiety at bay, and then see, okay, well, like what can I do here to prepare myself the best? I mean, the world is at this guy's feet at the moment, and it is a very uncertain world, but he hasn't couldn't have done more to try and open up opportunities for himself, which will all start unveiling themselves within these couple of weeks. And education is lifelong education. I run a company, I've got staff. I continually still go back and I'll do courses on a new thing I want to learn. With AI, when everything is changing so rapidly, the amount of jobs are changing so rapidly. What I say to all the footballers I work with, like, there is a big win here. This is all of the stuff we deal with in life, and if you can handle it in this bubble, it is part of education, and there are lots of ongoing courses you can do now and still be a professional footballer. You can have There's so much you can do online. There's so many opportunities for lifelong education, to continue education. But what Bradell has in his arsenal now at the end of this year is, I presume you come out of it now with the points from doing your ETB course, and you have all of that, so you've kind of.
So basically, from doing that ETB course, like you get added up to 400 CAO points, so you can use that to go into college. You get, obviously, I was saying you could get a qualification being a PT, and you get your lifeguard course, so it's a very good course. I feel like the one thing about this course, I feel like it should be said more, because like, especially for me in Sligo, I never heard about it. So I know there's lads in Sligo where they're thinking of, what am I gonna do? Like, I'll recommend it to them, like, because if they love football, I feel like it'd be a perfect suit. And I feel like your parents as well will kind of accept it as well. You're doing something you love, and at the same time you're getting an education. Like, say you want to take a gap year as well, but you don't know what you want to do. It really helps. You get paid from it as well. So it really helped as well. Like, because I think that was another thing my parents were really worried about, was like the accommodation, the fee, the transport. But having that ETB where you get paid as well was just it just it worked so well. It worked oh It just worked so well, and I'm just so grateful. Just so grateful.
Do you know just something else? In chatting to Bradell, he has such fond memories of his time in direct provision. And it's like in the media and everything, all you ever hear is, oh, that it's a nightmare. Direct, you only ever hear bad things. But it's kind of what we do on a Thursday night. Normally we come back together. I have a pool table downstairs. We play a bit of pool before it's time for his train, and we chat. But you always tell me stories about how happy those memories are. I mean, tell Tim a little bit of what.
I'm telling you right now, no word of a lie. There, me being in that immigration center, I won't even call it an immigration center. Me being in that home is the best thing that ever happened to me. I met so many people till today that we're still best friends. Like, I can name so much. We are still together. They're still in Sligo. So once they got their citizenship, they stayed in Sligo. So now, actually, we're all grown up. So a few actually gone to college in Derry. Actually, my best mate, Colourpop, he's in Derry right now. He's studying business over there. And there's a few of the girls who go to UCD. But say, like, we get to Christmas now where we're all back in Sligo, we all meet up in my house or whatever. But I've so many fun stories of us kids playing hide and seek in this massive house. Like, especially Globe House is so big. You got a park, you got like, oh, it's so, you got a men's building, you got a women's family building. Like, it's so big. We used to play hide and seek, we used to play football. Now, actually, what we started doing actually recently is, because Sligo was a bit boring, if you call it,
Be
we now.
careful, there's people from Sligo listening.
No, it's not boring, but for us, we just felt like, oh, there's not really so much to do. So we actually try our best now to like do something with us, especially us as friends, like, because we love doing lots of activities. Like, we love to do paintballing or maybe go trampoline park. But we have to do now what we started doing now, we just meet up and start playing a kickabout, like five-a-sides, ten-a-sides, football matches. So I think that's what I'll do in the preseason as well. Like get me up with the lads as well. I really miss them because I'm up here in Dublin by myself. I remember when I moved up here in Dublin, I was homesick. I was homesick. I remember going back home every week and then going back to Dublin. My mom would be like, "Why are you back? Like I thought you were like, why are you back?" But I genuinely just miss my ma, my sisters. I only started realizing how much I actually love my sisters and how much I actually miss them because I left. When I was in Sligo, when I was living in Sligo, I'd be like, "Oh, go away, leave me alone." But I really miss my little sisters, and I really miss them a lot. But it's been such a blessed year. I really, yeah, the group of lads there, my friends from Sligo, and like my classmates, and now we are still in touch.
I wonder whatever happened to the two footballers you saw that inspired you to play
Yeah,
football. I
I
wonder.
yeah, same thing. I actually wonder. I hope they're still playing football. I hope they made it out. I'll try my best to try figure it out. I think my dad knows their mom or something. Try get in touch, but it's so sad. There was a stage where the hardest stage, living in that situation was because there was a period of time I can't remember where it was happening a lot. Loads of people were actually getting deported, and it was sad to see because you never know if this is gonna happen to you. Of your family. I'm a little kid. I don't understand what was going on, but you can see the worry of people's faces. I remember like it, I remember it clearly. Was we were all in a hall and it was happening. People were just crying. There were women crying, carrying their children. If I like vision it, like it was actually like looking at it, like I'm visioning it now, and I'm seeing like generally it was sad. Like me, I'm older now and I can start realizing like wow, like everybody like in that center like really, I don't know, the journeys they had to do to try get a citizenship, you know. But I'm grateful. I'm so grateful that God really made a way, you know,
He
got over.
really did. Yeah, and I think it's so beautiful listening to, like, what a glory story. You know, it's kind of back page, kind of Roy of the Rovers kind of, you know, from the jungle in the best possible sense, to the Aviva, you know, to the league championship, to the winner's medal, to the goal of the month. And by the way, I saw the goal and I agree, spectacular. Liam had sent it to me, to show it to me. I wouldn't normally be celebrating anything that Drogheda United do, but that was what a goal. I suppose as we kind of close out this conversation, Bradell, I'm quite confident that a lot of our listeners aren't just inspired by your story, but I would love in some way for our listeners to be an ongoing part of your story in silence and in the background. How can we pray for you?
How can you pray for me? I don't know. I just feel like in your own moment, in whatever the situation, the circumstances that anybody that is going through, or how can I say, in your own time, you know, I just feel like you can pray from anywhere. You can pray from your home. You can pray from your church. You can, you know, there's different ways to pray. I feel like even like having conversations with me and Liam, that really helps as well in your faith as well. You're learning so much things. So I don't know how to answer that question.
I
Like,
think it's we were having a conversation the other day, and Bradell was asking me, you know, maybe God could use me more if I wasn't a footballer. It was something you said like that to
yeah.
me, and we're thinking about it, and we're going, God needs bankers, God needs teachers, God needs every different thing, whatever way it's happened, football exists. And all these sports exists, and God needs people in all of these places. And what I see in Bradell, and I see it in so many other footballers, are mainly involved in the football in the League of Ireland, and connected with in the UK and stuff. But I see so many footballers that are missionaries. They really are. They're light in the world. They're light in situations where people are going through tough. It's like you're sent into the Colosseum in front of thousands of people, but I see this man here along with so many others that really realizing I can be used by the Lord wherever I am, And I suppose if you can have prayer for him and for the others, and for, we now have 350 chaplains across the island of Ireland in different sports clubs. 30 alone have been appointed since August. So you could pray for them also. We're there for every single person. And as Bradell would be in that, like, we don't just congregate around the people who are believers. It's like every single person is God's creation and is there to be loved unconditionally, not loved because we want to, something from them. But it's just, pray that we can have that strength just to not judge people and love them and do our best just to be that salt and light, in the world. And I see this in this man and in so many of the others. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to see just that strength of character and growth through while going through this pressure furnace of competitive sport.
Beautiful stuff. Well, listeners, there you go. You know what to pray about. You know what to pray for. And gentlemen, thank you so much for giving me your time today. We pray in Jesus' name that everyone who hears this conversation will be blessed, encouraged, and inspired. So, guys, enjoy the rest of your day. God bless you.
Well, thank
Amen.
you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you.
You're listening to UCB Ireland, serving the church, reaching the nation.